Time is running out for the planet Earth.
It's impervious to all voices.
It is an intriguing sensation.
It's a nuclear device.
Fun, fun, fun!
Yes, that's nice.
Statistically speaking, of course, it's still the safest way to travel.
It belongs to a creature from outer space.
It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's very important.
It does not compute.
It's a trap!
Hi, everyone. It's another brand new episode of Geek Shall Inherit. We are coming to you from our headquarters at the International House of Podcasting. I'm Daniel Pickett.
And I'm Jason Lindsay.
And hey, this is episode 13.
Lucky, ooh.
Lucky 13.
Is it?
Yeah.
I guess we'll know by the end of this. I did trip three times coming into the room here to do this.
So. Are you superstitious?
A little.
Should we skip 13 and just go?
Why
to 14
did you bring a black
like
cat? Is what I want to know.
Well, he's my friend.
And why are we sitting under a ladder? I think that's a terrible
here,
idea.
Hold this umbrella indoors, would you?
Wait a second. Let me just check my hair in the mirror. Damn.
So yeah, and not only that, you know that it's episode 13, but this week that we're recording this in is leap year week day.
I've been jumping
How does
all
that
day.
Work?
I've been jumping all day. I don't know.
Do you have big plans for Leap Day?
I don't know. Week? I mean, should I?
I don't. Well, by the time this airs, it'll all be over. And,
right.
You know, we'll be packing away all our leap year decorations for the next 4 years.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought I would sort of launch Leap Week with the podcast, with recording this.
Oh, nice. Did you see 30 Rock last week?
No, I don't really. I'm not very familiar with it.
Really?
I'm not.
All right.
I should be. But
well, they
I'm
did
not.
A whole episode about Leap Day, and it was like a tradition that everyone knew except Liz Lemon. And, you know, there was like Leap Year Charlie, you know, that handed out things to kids.
Like
and
a mascot.
There were parades. Yeah, it was like this whole thing. And she had never heard of it. But everyone else from every other region of the country. And there was like a Jim Carrey movie about Leap Year Charlie. And like Jim Carrey was appearing throughout it. It was very funny.
Well, what are you doing for Leap Year?
Leap Week. It's what I do every year. I write my leap year resolutions it gives me a lot more time than New Year's resolutions because
right.
I have 4 years to accomplish those things.
So they're
instead
not
instead of just the one.
Are they more severe than the
no,
New Year's?
No.
Less severe.
Less severe, but it just gives me more time.
Nice.
You know? Yeah.
Maybe I should do that.
I think that's a good idea.
I mean, it's really hard when you're living a life of perfection.
Right.
It's hard to come up with resolutions.
Oh, I would imagine.
Try to come
true.
Up with things you need to fix. But
right.
I'm sure
I could start a list for you.
I was just gonna say I could put out a net and say, hey, everybody, let me know how I'm broken.
All right.
And see what they come up with. But that's good to know.
Let's start this podcast off about what we're excited about.
We should, because I know you're literally buzzing in the seat.
I've got some things I'm excited about.
You're like vibrating.
I actually have a thing that I didn't
like a little kid on Christmas Eve. Really?
When we discussed this episode, yeah.
You're pregnant.
No, that's not true.
What?
The first thing is Mass Effect 3.
Yes, and might I just say, because I know nothing about this, I'm going to let you take it from here for the next 10 minutes. This commercial came on during The Walking Dead.
Uh-huh.
I literally had no idea what it was. And I thought, is it possible that there is some sort of a CG feature that's coming out that I don't know about? And I thought, wow, this is really cool. This is something I've not heard about. It's totally under the radar. This is some new Zemeckis type, whatever. And then, of course, I figured out halfway through, like, oh, this is a video game. But
right.
it was that cool. Like, it was such an amazing promo that
yeah.
I thought it was an animated feature.
So they've done two commercials, two pretty good ones,
yeah.
Walking Dead the past 2 weeks. So
yeah.
The first one that you saw, the little girl with the sunflower, that was the CG one. But then this past week they did one that was live action.
Oh.
And actually had like the main characters live action, which that was the one I had to rewind because I had seen the other one a couple of times, the CG one, but I was like, what is this?
Mm.
And it was just like, wait a second, that's Commander Shepard.
And is that in the game or is that just for the promo?
The live action
yeah.
part? That's just for a promotion.
Okay.
That's just the commercial.
But the stuff that the previous one during The Walking Dead, that'll be in the game.
Probably,
yeah.
That'll probably be some part of opening cinematic, I imagine.
So you're very excited about this game?
I am, yeah. See, here's the thing. I didn't play Mass Effect 1. But I'm still working my way through Mass Effect 2. I've got a lot of hours into it. And the interesting thing about these games is that's sort of unique to them. It's a game by BioWare
mm-hmm.
that, you know, they make fantastic games. They do that Star Wars game that I've talked about a few times, The Old Republic.
The Old Republic, yep, heard of it.
So the decisions you make in Mass Effect 1 mm-hmm. and Mass Effect 2 will carry over from game to game.
Oh.
Relationships that you make, So it's really sort of a choose your own adventure. It's not like you're forced down a hallway, get to the end. Depending on who you choose to align with, mm-hmm. that changes the whole game for you. And then that carries from game to game. And that's, you know, weapons upgrades, relationships, decisions. It's very unique to the Mass Effect genre, you know, sort of legacy of games.
It's so, like, you're writing the stories, though.
It really is.
Because by the time you get to the third one, it is a continuation of what you've done in the first two.
Correct. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
and
cool.
You can, like, you know, in two, you can romance certain characters mm-hmm. and develop a relationship, and then that carries on. And, you know, your character is fully customizable mm-hmm. where you can make sort of any face you want. So if you want to run around looking like Jason Lindsay, you can make Commander Shepard look just like you.
Oh, well, that character would just get chased everywhere he went, so not a good idea.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. Very, very well. That's it.
Well, that comes out early March. So,
are you in full Mass Effect regalia as you play the game?
I have not been, but I know there is a lot of merchandise coming out for it. And
there are action figures, aren't there?
Well, yeah, that's kind of the fun fact. So, DC Direct, their mass market chunk, DC Unlimited, was working on action figures for that, and they released the first wave. And I guess there was some unhappiness between DC Direct and BioWare. Mm. And then DC had their whole sort of reprogramming when DC Entertainment took over and reshuffled the company. Mm. So those figures sort of went into limbo. Well, a guy that was leaving DC Direct sort of picked up the mantle of all those and said, hey, we've had a good relationship. Why don't we? I think they're called Big Fish Toys now. Mm. And he's like, let's finish this deal. Let's get these out, because I think they're really well done. I think I don't know if they were digital sculpts or if they were done by Gene St. Jean. I'd have to look at that.
But oh, okay.
Really, really nice. So they're re-releasing the first wave of figures, and I think they've got two other waves that are coming.
Okay.
And if you buy the figures, these new figures that Big Fish are putting out, you get a code with the figure that gives you some, you know, a weapon, a piece of armor, or something in the game.
Oh,
so
okay.
There's incentive to buy the figures that will sort of upgrade your game.
And you don't have them yet?
I don't have any of them yet. No, okay. Only the first, I think first four were released. And okay. I think there's going to be 8 or 12 total. So
it's surprising that you don't have them yet.
I know.
Because you have everything. You're like the first guy that gets everything.
Yeah, well, when those came out, and they were pretty, they were not a big release. Mm. I hadn't started playing Mass Effect 2
yet. Oh, okay.
So or at least I wasn't that far into it. I was still sort of like, because it's a very different game experience than anything I had played at that point. So,
okay.
You know, it wasn't sort of, I hadn't bought into the whole universe, but now it's sort of like, oh, well, that would be really cool to have. And so there's that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to, I was going to say I could get started on Mass Effect 1, but by the time I catch up, this Mass Effect 3 will be in the discount bins.
You can start. Fire up the old Xbox.
I don't know if I'm that guy. I really don't know if I'm that guy.
I think you'd like it. I think you would appreciate good storytelling.
I don't spend as much time in the Rock Band thing as I should. That's the whole reason I got it, was the Beatles thing.
And oh, yes.
All the music, and I haven't touched it in months.
Yeah.
So I'll have to get back to that. Well, I guess the thing I'm excited about, it's not that I'm terribly excited, but I guess I am excited, is Game of Thrones is coming back.
Yes, season
and
2.
And they put out a trailer, I think, just the other day, from when we're recording this, obviously. And again, I'm not one of those Game of Thrones fans that's like, I never read the books, and there are people out there that are just, they think this is the you know, like some people thought The Sopranos was, like the greatest thing that was ever made. I don't think that. I think it's terrific, and I really dig it, and I just think it's a great, great drama. It's just great to see sort of genre drama like this on this level, because I've always thought that, you know, there's so many graphic novels out there, so many you know, standalone sort of, you know, monthly titles and graphic novels that maybe wouldn't, you know, like a Kick-Ass kind of thing that made it into a feature that we're not sure if we're going to see a second one. I thought it was pretty good, but like everyone got hyped about it before the book was even out, essentially. There are so many other quirky titles that are out there that are not mainstream that may not work as features.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Walking Dead, perfect example, hopefully that's going to open up the floodgates, because things like Chew, there's a book called Chew.
Right.
That I think Showtime was going to be doing a pilot for, or did a pilot for, or is going to, which is great. It's about a detective that literally takes a bite out of the corpse in a murder at a murder scene, and he'll be able to figure out how the victim was killed. Very strange, but it's a great book.
That actually showed up as a backup feature in an issue of Walking Dead.
Oh, well, there
like
you
a,
go.
Like
okay.
a preview thing. Yeah.
Well, perfect. It's same vibe. Very yep. very strange vibe. And Game of Thrones makes me hopeful that HBO or a Showtime or some of the pay cables are going to get more interested in genre properties to see, like, wow, this thing was this successful. Granted, it's not, there's not like, ogres walking around. It's not Lord of the Rings exactly. Not yet. I mean, I don't know what's coming.
Right.
But it's probably easier to digest for a lot of people that don't dig, fantasy or sci-fi type stuff.
Certainly, yeah.
But it was so successful and so well done that I'm hoping that it is a sign of things to come, I suppose. So I'm excited about that's coming back.
And they did a good job with the first season where it felt sort of like kind of what they did with Battlestar Galactica and Lost and The Shield, where, it was a really good, interesting episode. And then, like, the last second they did something was like, I got to see what's next.
Yeah. So
especially if you're watching, like, the box set or something like that, it's like, well, I got to go one more, and then you're watching the whole thing
and
in the night.
A great cast and just the titles, the opening titles alone are some of the
Amazing.
Best on television.
Yeah,
I mean, I know
gorgeous.
That's been beaten to death already, but it's really, really well done. And I have a hard time giving myself, over to too many shows because you so often get let down. I truly feel that you get invested and you go, okay, where's it? Too many questions are asked and not enough answers. And before you know it, you spent 5 years of your life and you're like, what did I get? So I don't do it that often. And Walking Dead's another example of a show I think that's just quality. It keeps improving, I think.
Right.
I really think that. I think it was slow for a bit, but now it's setting up these scenarios that are so that you can. There's no better way to put it than to say I can so quickly put myself in the scenario and think, what would you do in that situation?
Right.
You're trapped in a room with the thing outside, and then this one's gonna might be pregnant or whatever. It just, you go, wow, you could have this for the next 6 months, just these threads here.
Yeah.
That's really good television to me.
They just announced some Walking Dead casting for season 3. That's a little bit of a spoiler, I guess. You think it's okay?
I don't know how much of a spoiler it is, because I don't know the graphic novel as well. I've only been to the first couple of graphic novels. So I don't know how big of a spoiler that is, but it's out there. So
it is certainly out there. So if you don't want to know that there's going to be a character from the comic appearing in season 3, then turn the volume down for just a second. And now that it's down, the governor has been cast. So they're going to use that character in season 3, which should be pretty interesting.
And David Morrissey, who is a great actor, is going to be playing him.
Yes.
He's been in loads of stuff. He's a British actor. He's been in a... I remember him way back from a series on Bravo. I think it was originally a BBC thing that they aired on Bravo with Timothy Dalton. It was called Framed.
Okay.
He was in that. And he was in... Well, he was in Doctor Who, of course. He was in the Next Doctor, and Viva was it? What was the one? They tried redoing it here. They called it Viva Las Vegas.
Oh,
Viva
yeah.
Blackpool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a great, weird thing. And David Tennant was in that.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, they were in that together, and it was a musical that took place in Blackpool in
right.
England. It was really cool. So that's cool. He's a great actor.
Speaking of Timothy Dalton, though, quickly.
Yes.
There was a survey that came out, and
yes.
it was 60 Minutes and
oh boy.
I forget who the other group they did it with. And, there was lots of different things that they surveyed and sort of came up with. But the interesting thing, one thing I think would appeal to you was, who is America's favorite James Bond?
Oh, man. And what would I can tell where this is going. What were the answers?
Well, what is your guess?
I would guess at this point, just because I know America pretty well.
Yes.
They're going to say Daniel Craig at this point.
Incorrect.
Or Sean Connery.
Sean Connery by 56%.
Oh, that's good. Okay,
over
that's good.
Half.
That's good to me, because that's the way it should be. But I just think sometimes they do these surveys, and it's whatever the most recent thing was.
Yeah.
For a while there, they were saying Brosnan was the best Bond.
And Brosnan was number 2.
Was number 2.
With 10%, yeah.
See, I would have thought Craig would have been second.
Craig is 3.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I bet Dalton is like 4th. Or no, 5th.
Yeah, yeah. Dalton.
Because Lazenby always brings up the rear.
Yeah. Dalton and Moore, I think, were right at, okay. I think, 1%. I think, yeah, Lazenby was.
It's interesting because we've.
Honorable mention.
It's funny you say that because I was going to talk about Bond in this episode, and I thought people are going to think that that's all we talk about is
Jonathan Colton,
Bond, John Carter, Queen. Yeah. but we've been. Every now and then, if I get a window at home to put on some stuff that I like in the DVD player, I'll take advantage of it. And so last week, my wife was like, "Well, let's watch some James Bond." Excuse me?
Wow!
Really? Yeah. Well, but not the early ones. Okay. Well, what is? Okay. So what does that mean? So not the Connery. Right. Well, not no. We don't Connery. They're a little slow. Not Connery. So Roger. Oh, well, not Roger Moore either. Okay, so that narrows it down to Timothy Dalton. Well, who's Timothy Dalton? Okay, so now you're saying Pierce Brosnan and Daniel Craig. So really, I've got six films to choose from. And then we kind of, you know, narrowed it down. And I said, well, have you ever seen, we've never talked about Timothy Dalton much, but how about License to Kill? This is, to me, one of the best Bond films ever made. And it's funny because if you look at it now, especially, I loved it when it came out.
Right.
But if you watch it now, you go, wow, they were taking notes. First of all, in the history of the Bond series, there were really, before Daniel Craig came along, there were really only two times they ever veered away from the formula. And that was on Her Majesty's Secret Service in 69, which was Lazenby. Mm-hmm. Had Connery, Lazenby was fine. Had Connery done it, could have been the best ever made. And the second time was License to Kill, Timothy Dalton. They really veered from the script. They did something that was not standard, not formula. Both times you came up with great films, you lost some of the audience. But they were comfortable enough in box office and how they, you know, how far they had come with the character at different stages to say, we have to do something different here. And with Roger Moore, they reached a zenith with Moonraker where it was like, this is as far away from Bond as you could get. So the next one was For Your Eyes Only, where they said, right. We've got to come down to earth, take away the nonsense. And it's a pretty no-nonsense feature. And then his next two get silly again. So with Dalton, it was clear he wasn't going to be able to do what Roger Moore did. It was not going to be, you know, snowboarding down a mountain to the Beach Boys.
Right, yes.
In View to a Kill. And if you look at his two features, he really is the closest that anyone's ever come to playing the Bond of the Fleming books. I mean, he's sort of the connoisseur's... Yeah. The connoisseur of Bond kind of says he's the guy. There, you know, you can argue about the merit of the films, but when you watch License to Kill especially, you realize the notes they were taking for Daniel Craig. Mm. Because Daniel Craig goes way off script in those two features, especially the second one that he did, where he's sort of kind of a rogue, kind of going off and doing it. And that's what Dalton does in License to Kill. And she loved it. I mean, there were bits of it she didn't like, and there were things in the soundtrack we didn't like and whatever, but she was shocked at how graphic it was. And it really is.
Right.
Even today, it's shocking what they got away with in a PG-13 with the shark and the taking off the leg. And
spoilers.
He kills everybody. He kills everybody in this thing. Yeah. You know, it's... And she... And
well, he has a license.
No, he doesn't. It's been revoked in this one.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So this is just killing without any assignment.
Wow.
This is just revenge. And so it would happen...
He's going to have to pay a fine for that, I imagine.
And my wife would go like... She'd go, oh, wow. Whoa, geez, really? And it, like throwing somebody off a building or whatever. And it was like, yeah, this is just you know, kind of balls out Bond. And it's a great film. So, but Dalton always gets shortchanged. And fans are sort of coming around and people kind of going, well, yeah, if you look at his stuff now and so on. Because Brosnan was, to me, fine, but he was like the nephew of Roger Moore to me. He was still kind of doing stuff that was, you know, brushing himself off and fixing his tie and,
right.
And you know, with an invisible car.
The
you didn't have that.
Nephew of Roger Moore.
Kinda, yeah. He was like the Aqua Velva nephew of Roger Moore.
I like that.
But it's funny because what we were going to talk about, and I was going to bring it up as a topic, was we talked about theme songs a while back, mm-hmm. for Bond.
Yes.
What the greatest ratio was between a good theme and a bad Bond film.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And yeah. I picked two. Maybe I don't know how well you know Bond, but maybe you can do this as well. Live and Let Die is pretty tough to get through. That is pretty, it's Roger Moore's first one, but it is so dated and so blaxploitation. It is so tough to get through. And of course, that song by McCartney is one of the best, if not the best. And View to a Kill.
I thought Guns N' Roses did that song.
Oh, man. We're going to have to take a break, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a joke.
While we educate.
It's a joke.
And the second one was View to a Kill. But it was a great theme.
I think that was a great theme?
Oh, I think it's terrific. I think it holds up very well. I think that might have gone to number one, I think.
That was Duran Duran. Yeah.
That's a great Bond
theme. Not a fan of that one.
I like that one.
A little smart me for my
But regardless
looking
of
it. You with a view.
We're going to get fined.
Oh, that's right. Well,
can't,
no, I think
can't
I'm
do
okay.
it.
That's right. That's enough.
I think that, but that is like, that View to a Kill is just, I mean, it's unwatchable. You can't, even if you want to kind of watch it just to see Moore's final, you know, his swan song, but it's brutal.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like this the whole time. His eyes are big and wide, like his skin's been pulled back and he's got mascara on. And Tanya Roberts is the Bond girl. And it's like, really? It's terrible.
Yeah.
So those are my picks.
I see. All right. Yeah. Well, the one other thing that I'm excited about, because we kind of got off on a tangent on that.
We did.
I think, yeah.
We start talking about
Bond. James Bond, yeah. Is that Hot Toys announced today, actually, last
really?
Night, that they're going to do 12-inch figures based on Arkham City.
Wow.
The video game, yeah.
So wow.
They're finding new ways to just vacuum money out of my wallet.
I just don't get that, though.
Well, you haven't played it, so you don't know what you're talking
about. No, it's not that. It's just that it's like... I didn't realize there was that big of an audience for the Hot Toys stuff that even video games,
sure,
they're going to do 12-inch figures of.
Yeah.
Like
it's still Batman. It's still Batman and his rogues gallery.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, when you think about all the other Batman they could make, the other ways they could do it.
Right.
You could do six versions of Christian Bale. You know, you could do a non-suited version of Michael Keaton. You know, you could do all the characters from Returns. I mean, there's so many other things you could still
play
with
before
you get to Arkham.
They're doing it all concurrently.
I just think it's a little redundant. That's all. I just think it's...
They've done Christian Bale from all three films.
Aren't those figures sort of out? Didn't Mattel do some Arkham Asylum figures?
DC Direct has done Arkham Asylum
right
figures.
And then
DC Direct has done Arkham City figures. Mattel has done... Arkham City figures. And Square Enix has done some really high-end, like, 7-inch Arkham City figures.
So you mean posable action figures?
Yes.
So three different companies are doing 7-inch figures for Arkham City.
Mattel's are more 6-inch.
Come see, come saw.
I'm just saying.
So three different companies are making action figures for the same property.
Correct.
And in basically the same size.
The same size-ish, yes. But
and
now,
two companies have made them for...
Now you can get a large figure.
But that's for Arkham Asylum.
That's for Arkham City.
The 12-inch is Arkham City.
Yes.
So now you're going to have...
For Hot Toys.
Four different choices for Arkham City.
Correct.
That has got to be an incredibly popular game.
It is.
That you've got that many choices.
And again, you should get on board.
I will try. I have an easier time with something like that, with characters I'm familiar with than
the fighting and the punching.
So how many
Hot
Toys figures do you have?
How many do I have?
Because you've mentioned them like half the episodes.
I probably have 10, maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you sound like that collector that sort of gets everything Hot Toys does almost.
No.
So you
would love that.
So you keep it to DC, Marvel,
games. Yeah, some of the Batman ones. I've mm-hmm. got Batman, the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
The Joker is the policeman because I just bought an extra body and put that on there. Two-Face. I think that's it for Batman. I got the Christopher Reeve Superman.
Mm-hmm.
I have Mark III Iron Man, Whiplash, Black Widow,
wow,
Captain America, and I will be getting the Keaton Batman and the Nicholson Joker I have on pre-order.
And all of these are also coming out from the Avengers.
Yes, they will.
What do you think they're going to do with the Hulk
costume? He's going to be large.
Wow!
So he'll be that sort of teaser picture. He'll probably be 18 inches,
and he'll be like probably, you know, socket jointed sort of figure.
I don't know. They've got a pretty cool system where they put a covering over, you know, like skin over it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that have to be really big though over the figure?
Probably would be, because he's a large character.
Yeah, I just mean that to pose him, it would seem like you'd need hinges within the elbow and
yeah,
the
there's still
shoulder.
Yeah, there's an armature. It's like
so they
when
would
they
keep
do,
the body inside that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Like they do that like with their Predator figures, you know, that's so, you know, or any sort of shirtless character.
Right.
They do the inner armature.
I know how much you like the shirtless characters.
Oh boy, do I! I can't get enough.
You got a whole shelf. Shirtless shelf.
Just of shirtless.
All shirtless all the time.
Yep.
Well, speaking of the Avengers, yes. I hope you don't mind me making that segue.
No, do it.
I think it's a pretty good segue.
That is.
Last week, the final poster, no longer teaser posters, the final one sheet poster came out for the Avengers feature. And we've both seen it.
Yes.
And I was curious what you thought of it.
It's okay. You know, certainly everyone's represented there.
They're sort of
standing in, you know, if you've seen the trailer, there's a great moment where they're all in a circle and in an action pose and the camera crane is spinning around them really fast.
Yep.
This is them sort of standing in a group in a city with rubble around them, all looking in different directions.
Sort of the school photo.
Well, it's not school photo.
Well, they're different photographers showed up for the school photo, and they're all looking at a different photographer, basically, I think.
But Iron Man is the most prominent character in it, and it is an unmasked Iron Man.
It is.
Robert Downey Jr.
And Cap is kind of further back.
Cap is further back and standing on something and looking completely in a different direction.
He's a little smaller than I thought he should be. I thought he should be right next to Iron Man. But you know, Iron Man did sort of launch, the true launch was, you know, a long time before Iron Man, but Iron Man really was the one that said, ooh, we can really do something with this.
Yeah, that with Marvel's planning and the films, that's what they, so that's where they first said, stage. Hey, we can.
I have to be honest, I didn't think it was, I thought it was fine, I thought it was okay, but I wanted more. I was expecting a little bit more from that because I don't know why I thought this might be the case, that maybe we were going to get something with artwork. Do you remember the images that were shown several months ago? Not just the face in the A for the Avengers, those teaser posters that came up. But there were drawn images, illustrated images of them sort of all heading in a direction. Do you remember that?
I think so, yeah.
I think it might have been after Comic-Con or something, maybe. I don't remember. But they're really nicely done. And they were artwork. They weren't photographs.
Right.
I thought if anything deserved that epic feel that we remember from 20 years ago or more of artwork on posters that showed how epic what you were about to see was on a movie poster on a piece of paper, then it would be this movie. This is the biggest thing that Marvel's ever done, and it could be the biggest comic book movie of all time. Who knows? But I thought that poster was going to punch me in the face. That's what I was hoping, and I just didn't get that. You know, it's a dead art anyway. They're really
the painted
or even artwork on posters is dead. And I'll tell you when I think it changed.
Okay.
Because I've thought about this.
Uh-huh.
I could be wrong. I blame the video boom for this. Because the videotapes,
like
VHS,
home video,
VHS got so big. I'm not talking about, you know, 82 to 85, 86. I'm talking about like those late 80s, early 90s. It got so big, was so massive that you'd go into a video store there were thousands of choices. Mm-hmm. And it got to a point where a quarter of those choices became like direct to VHS kind of things.
Right.
You know, like the Randall Batenkoff. What's his name? Is that his name? Randall Dutenkoff?
What are we talking about?
You know those guys that did like American Ninja 4 and Wings Hauser and guys like that, where the image on the front just became, you know, Schwarzenegger with a gun, side profile.
Yeah.
And so the movie poster was kind of thrown out the window. Initially with videos, the poster was on the case.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became, what's going to get someone to grab this thing right away? And it became
the
photograph.
People. Yeah, the actors.
The actors. You'd have the actor on there holding a gun or two people, you know, photoshopped, like looking, you know, back to back, like, is he gonna walk down the aisle with her? Or is she going to find a new boyfriend? Or whatever the hell that comedy is called. And it killed the movie poster. That's when I think it started.
Well, I think too the multiplex did a little of that too, because there's such a churn of movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before the video boom, movies would stay in the theaters, especially if they were doing well, for months on end.
Yeah.
And they would sort of rotate, you know, there would be an A, B, and C poster.
Right.
That the theaters would rotate out, where you could almost sort of trick someone, like, oh, look at that. Is that the next one of that?
Right.
You know, and they would do that. And yeah, that's gone.
I mean,
when you think about a lot of the old 80s movies, they had a lot of unique posters.
Yeah.
And some really, really cool stuff.
I mean, a guy like Struzan talked about it, Drew Struzan.
Yeah.
He talked about it in an interview I read last year, maybe the year before, I forget, when he had a book that was coming out or something, where he was like, I'm done. I'm essentially retired. He said, I came out to do a couple of things. He came out and did Crystal Skull. He did the teaser for Crystal Skull and the final poster and all the artwork for that. But he said, other than that, you know, for special occasions like Spielberg type things, like, I'm done because no one's doing it. Yeah. None of the studios are doing it. You know, they don't want, you know, artwork on a poster. They'd rather just have an image of the creature or the lead actor, whatever it is, and that tells the story. But I get it when it comes to things like, you know, the terms of endearment type things that are out there, or the Iron Lady or whatever. You don't need Margaret Thatcher in the middle of an action sequence with explosions behind her. But when it comes to stuff like this and these genre things, I say bring it back. Pay somebody a couple grand and make a poster.
Because there's some really interesting stuff that guys are doing on the internet where, you know, they'll take a story, a movie, and make it look like one of the old book covers from the 60s. They've done that. A couple of guys have done that with Star Wars. There's some really cool.
Did it with Planet of the Apes, too. Who are you thinking of? The ones that has to do with the Alamo Draft House. And they have the, it's they're limited edition posters. When they come out, it's literally like 500 pieces, and that's it. And they're gone in like a couple of hours. You have to get them. There's also a cool feature that Empire Magazine does. It's a British movie magazine. Mm-hmm. They've been doing it for like the past year or so, where they just have somebody redefine a movie poster.
Right, yes.
And it's almost like phonetic. When you look at the poster, it's kind of like it's an interpretation of what the story is just in two images on the poster. And it's art. It's not... No photographs, no images of faces. It's just like and it's really, really smart. It's fun. But these ones online, I wish I could think of the name of it now.
Yeah, there's a couple of Star Wars. The first ones that really caught my eye, there was a series of, you know, A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. And like the New Hope one was a silhouette, and I think it was done sort of all in oranges and earth tones. Mm-hmm. It was a silhouette of C-3PO. Mm. And inside of that silhouette was sort of Tatooine with Luke and the house, and then the twin sons of Tatooine were C-3PO's eyes.
Oh, cool.
Just gorgeous. And then the Empire Strikes Back one was the silhouette of Boba Fett, and then Cloud City made the visor of his mask hovering within
them. Oh, cool.
And then the other one was for Jedi was Darth Vader, and sort of inside of that was one of the scout walkers in the forest moon.
Wow.
And then I saw new ones just the other day that were again the three original trilogy, and the first one for A New Hope was, you know, there was at the bottom of it there was sort of a hemisphere of a planet, and then sort of the whole top third was just the point of a Star Destroyer with a little Imperial or the Rebel blockade runner in front of it.
Oh, wow.
And then for Empire Strikes Back, it was same thing. There was that planet horizon, which looked more sort of like an asteroid. The tiny ship was the Millennium Falcon. And then behind it were every variation of TIE fighter in a triangle.
Wow.
Sort of pursuing it. And then there was the, I guess it was for Jedi, the planet was the not finished Death Star, same horizon.
Okay.
I forget which ship it was. And then, like, all the Rebel fleet, like, heading toward... It might have been the Millennium Falcon again, heading towards the Death Star.
I wonder if this is the same sort of group that I'm thinking of that did these ones or does these ones they show on Ain't It Cool News. And they did these Planet of the Apes ones. And you see the one... This is the one I'm thinking of from a couple weeks ago, was from... Escape from the Planet of the Apes, and it was literally like the spaceship. Was it the Icarus? I think it was the nose cone of the Icarus that Heston was in,
right?
And Cornelius and Zira standing on it in their spacesuits, holding their helmets. But it's like it's almost like the camera was underneath them, kind of looking up at them. But it's very stylized art too. Mm-hmm. But you know exactly what it is and exactly what that movie is when you see the thing. And of course, with hindsight, you can have more spoilers in these things, and you know you don't have to worry about what you're doing. But I wish that for something like the Avengers, that you would have had somebody either from Marvel or just somebody outside the Marvel sort of system, studio, maybe a studio person, you know, do something original. And
well, we might still get that. There's still time.
I don't know.
It's not till May.
But this seems to be the one, though.
Well, this is the main one. Yeah, but again, they might, you know. There could be any number of posters they put with it.
I mean, seriously, outside of Crystal Skull, what's the last thing you can think of that had a last movie poster that had art on it?
Air Bud 6.
Fair enough. I know how much you love the Bud series.
Oh, boy, I do.
Six was a good one.
But also to kind of transition with that, these sort of posters we're talking about, a good place to see them is a new website that I just signed up for.
Hmm.
We've got all these sort of du jour websites. You know, there's the Facebooks. First there was the MySpaces, then the Facebooks, then the Twitters. It's like everyone's got to get on board these things.
Yeah, I'm sick of it.
You are?
I feel like I'm going to get left behind if I don't keep up.
Well, here's one to try out. So there's Tumblr, which is sort of the poor man's blogging site, which is not the one I'm talking about.
Okay.
But the other one is Pinterest.
Pinterest?
Pinterest.
Like interest with a P.
Yes.
All right.
As of right now, you have to be invited to join it.
Are you inviting me?
If you'd like to, I'll send you an invite.
I think it's rude if you didn't.
So I think it started as mostly a site for the ladies.
Ah, I can see why you were attracted to it
initially. That's right, yes. And, you know, like Abby, my fiance, has been on it for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just find ideas of, like, different recipes and clothing and fun things around the house and crafts.
How to have a pillow fight.
And people would just post these
right.
Things and they would link back to another site or something. Right. But you just see that and go, oh, well, that's interesting. I'd like to make that food someday.
Mm.
And you set up these boards, these pin boards on your own version of it,
mm-hmm.
and you just grab that and go, oh, well, that's something I'll stick in my recipe board.
Mm.
And you just have this. But it's starting to expand much more. It's I think, the most rapidly growing website right now.
Wow.
And they're getting thousands and thousands of new people each day. More men are coming on it, and now there is a section of just geek stuff.
Oh.
Like, that is one of their main headings.
Push our way in.
Absolutely.
And take that away from them.
We'll ruin it. So it's sort of like Tumblr without all the porn.
So Pinterest.
Pinterest.
Pinterest has got. .com. And it's got.
A lot of geek
movie
stuff.
Movie posters and stuff?
Well, I've seen a lot of that.
That you talked about. Okay.
Yeah. But there's all sorts of, you know.
Cool.
Geek stuff that you can find.
Well, please send me the invite.
Okay.
And also your quiche recipe.
Yes, I will do that.
When you get a
moment.
I'd love to get that as well.
All right.
So I can keep up with
that. So, you know, and I've just literally just this week started sort of messing around on it. So I don't know. The jury's still out, but that's where the kids are.
Nice.
So to stay on the cutting edge, that's where I'm going to be.
We're giving a lot of free information out here.
That's what we do.
We should be charging for this.
Well, they don't charge for it.
Well, eventually we'll start charging. It's not right that no one's making money off of this.
Really?
Pinterest, they're finding a way.
You think so?
I think so.
All right. Well.
They're not going hungry.
Doing just fine for themselves.
How about you're always looking for toys?
I am.
Scavenger.
Yes.
What have you found recently?
Well, I had a stroke of good luck last week, actually.
Did you?
Someone on, because I've been looking for the new wave of Marvel Legends, Series 1.
Series 1.
I found the first Iron Man, the red Iron Man. You found me a claw.
I found a claw.
And that's all I've seen for a long time. Went away to Toy Fair.
Yep.
You know, saw Series 2. Saw part of Series 3. I'm like, I gotta finish Series 1 because Series 2 is out now.
I know.
It's like Frankensons. They're out. So I was like, I gotta get on board. Looking around on AFI, actionfigureinsider.com.
Heard of it?
And someone had found them at Target now, which up to this point,
yeah,
only found at Toys R Us.
They're at Target.
So I guess they're showing up at Target and Walmart. So they put up the Target DPCI number, which is the Target code for the toy. And you can go to those scanners in the store, plug in that number, and it'll tell you if it's in the stock room or not, which is awesome. You play the system against itself. So I went in.
I don't think I've ever wanted a toy bad enough
to plug in
that.
A number?
Yeah.
Well,
wait, so you plugged. So you went there, you plugged
in the
number.
I went there, I plugged in the number. This is like Sunday evening, you know, maybe 8 o'clock. So the store's pretty dead, pretty quiet. Plugged it in. Sure enough, it's in the back room.
What?
Not on the shelf. So I found a young man with one of the scanners.
Put him in a headlock.
I asked him about it. He was like, oh, I don't know, you know, I don't know anything about that. I said, well, I've got the DPCI number. And he's like,
what's
a
DPCI number?
Oh, do you? Well, that helps. So he plugs that in. He goes, yeah, well, you know, they've got it. But the reason it's back there is there's nowhere on the shelf for it.
Well, it's going in my cart. That's why.
No, but I said, well, and he asked me, is this something brand new? And I said, no, they've been at Toys R Us for about a month.
Mm-hmm.
But just you guys don't have a spot for it because you haven't done your planogram reset. He's like, well, let me just go look and see if I can find them. He went, looked, brought out a fresh case.
Wow.
And it was the variant case.
You pull out your razor blade?
No,
he sliced
it
open.
He opened it up and he took each one out. And he was like, do you need this one? And
so you got all of them.
I got all of them.
You got all the ones you were missing.
Yes.
And then there are those variants that are out.
That's right. So the case is one of each, except there are two of the blue Iron Man in the variant case.
Okay.
So since I only had the red, I grabbed one of the blues, and the only two I left behind was Claw, because I already had that,
right,
and the other blue Iron Man, but I needed all the rest of them.
So you get,
so I
so
got
the
orange...
Sorry, go ahead.
Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
The orange flame Ghost Rider, and I got the Steve Rogers with the clear shield.
And the regular Steve Rogers.
I don't have the regular Steve Rogers yet, no.
Oh, so he... So the variant was in there.
That's right. The variant case just has the variant versions of these things. So there was no red Iron Man in that case.
Okay.
There was no blue Ghost Rider in that case.
Okay.
So I don't have a regular Steve Rogers, which I don't think I need. I'll just use the clear shield one.
And do you have the Thor and the...
I do have the Thor. Yeah, I got all that.
I get it now.
Yeah.
So the variants, the regular characters of the variants aren't in there.
That's
and
right.
And then the rest of the characters are.
Correct.
So you took everything but Claw, Iron Man that you already had, and then you got all the variants.
Then
but
I got everything else, yeah.
There's an extra blue Iron Man that somebody
that
got
someone
on the
else
shelf.
Else got. That's right. They went, oh, gosh, well,
that's nice of you.
And at Target, they are cheaper than at Toys R Us. At Toys R Us, they're like $17.99, I think.
I think they're like $18, yeah.
And at Target, they are $14.99.
Nice.
So I was very happy about
Well, look
that.
At that. And now you've told everybody how to get that Target thing.
That's right.
And use it, and I will never find anything.
What? No. You can do. You can go plug it in yourself.
No, I'm
you
saying...
You have the power.
Everyone listening will take that power, and
right.
you won't have that power anymore.
I still have that power.
They've just cut your hair.
What?
They've just cut your strength away.
That's
your
not
secret,
true at all.
Your secret weapon.
That is not true.
That's exciting.
I shall persevere.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, there's Wave 2 should be out any day, right?
I mean, in some places it's already out. In a lot of the online retailers, it is out. And I know Frank and Son, some guys had them, so...
Interesting.
Which is, for those not local to the Los Angeles area, is a giant sort of scalpery, dealery
tent.
I thought warehouse.
I thought
in the city of industry that they sell toys every Wednesday and Saturday.
It's kind of cool that they did the Ghost Rider figure, but I was kind of hoping that he would be like a movie Ghost Rider figure.
Right.
You know, considering that there wasn't a line for Spirit of Vengeance, and I haven't seen it, and I'm sure it's as good as the first one, but I'm fine with that. But it would have been cool to have a new, you know, high-tech
Ghost Rider.
Yeah, a high-tech movie Ghost Rider, maybe.
Well, maybe you should write a strongly worded letter.
Well, I think it's a little too late.
Oh.
Unless they put something out for the DVD.
You just want to have your own pocket Nick Cage.
I do.
That's what I think.
Everyone should have a pocket Nick Cage. Didn't they eventually, when they did it for the first movie, they made a toy line for the first movie, and it was a Toy Biz still?
The 5-inch, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
No. No, they did Legend style.
They were a little smaller, though.
No, I don't think so, because they
fight you.
They fit on the little shelf that I have with the rest of them. Yeah, I'm
they
serious.
Fit on, hold on, they fit on a shelf?
Well, what I mean is they're you know, and the one they had a Nicolas Cage one that had that skinny neck that the head popped off.
Yeah, but they are still sort of Legend style, but that movie scale was a little smaller than Legend.
They're not 5-inch.
Maybe they're not 5-inch. They're 5.5. They're smaller than Legend scale.
All right, they're maybe a little smaller than Legend scale, but didn't they put out a bike?
I believe
to
so,
go
yeah.
with that.
Yeah,
or was it something that like wound up or something?
Probably
I think it might have been because that was a while ago that movie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is a late sequel, right? Was that like 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
Easily.
Yeah. It's interesting that it did well enough that they wanted to do a sequel, and I guess the sequel didn't do so well.
Right. So I mean, it was Toy Biz still making those, so we know that's been a while.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. So maybe we won't see a third one. I don't think.
Well, another 6 years.
Yeah, give it another 6 years. Nick Cage needs to cash a check.
That's right.
Needs to buy a comic book collection.
More of a treasure protector.
Make another movie.
Yeah.
Well, very exciting.
I think
that's
so.
Great. You're quite the
so
toy.
So that's what I found most recently for me. I don't know if you found anything.
No, I haven't really...
Hunting around?
Haven't really
You're
hunted much.
Sitting at home with your Blade Runner gun,
pushing
the buttons on your talking figures?
Exactly. I only go to CVS for my toys.
Good.
I only get from China on eBay or CVS. That's it for me. I don't ever really find anything. I don't ever find much. I don't have that kind of the luck that you... Like, for that... I mean, I would need to get that number and do what you did or whatever,
right.
but... I find the thing like 3 months after everybody else has found it. Like, you know those...
You're the saddest little collector alive.
I am. So I'm putting out an appeal to our listeners to find stuff for me.
You need minions. That's what
well,
you're
like
saying.
Well, like the little, you know, the Hydra characters from Captain America.
Yes.
Like now you can throw a rock and you hit one of those guys.
Right.
back when everybody
they
was
discourage
getting
them. That, like in Toys R Us, though, throwing rocks.
They do.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
Do.
They don't want you to do that in the store.
I couldn't find one at all. So now that everyone's got them, I can find one.
Nice.
I'm that kid. I'm the last one to be picked.
And are you
going to
buy them all? You're going to have like a
yeah,
Hydra
army? I've got like 17 in my trunk.
Nice.
I don't want anybody to have them now.
That's perfect.
Now that I've got them all. So, no, I found some of the Avengers stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I found that the other night. I take that back. That's the most recent thing I found.
And those are fun. I think that little cap is beautiful.
Yeah.
The little movie Captain America, the Avengers Captain America, I think is so cool.
Yeah, I found, just a great little figure. I found Cap, Thor, Iron Man, and Hulk. I found one of each of them. Not that comic series Hawkeye or anything.
No, I don't think he's out.
I did see the Quinjet. The Quinjet is out now.
And there's a couple other like little vehicles that were
little ridey things. And then there's a set with Captain America and a set with Iron Man that come like big armor.
Yeah,
like almost like a Hulkbuster armor. Yeah.
And then of course they've
repainted it red, white, and blue.
There's Hulk hands.
There are Hulk hands. Yes.
They don't make sounds, but there's Hulk hands.
That's right.
It's a perennial.
Punch your mama.
That's the third time we've seen Hulk hands now.
Yes.
They must be popular.
Yes.
Remember, there were thing hands too?
Yeah, I do remember. There were thing hands and thing feet.
And thing feet. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That was cool.
So.
Clobbering time.
It is truly clobbering time.
I mean, it's very cool that all this stuff is happening.
I think if I'm not mistaken, in the original Hulk hands that Toy Biz put out, that is the voice of Jesse Falcon as the Hulk.
Well, I found out that Jesse does some of the talking ones that I was talking about that I was kind of bad-mouthing. That he does some of the
he does some of
still.
That, yeah.
Like, I don't know if he does Thor or Cap or Iron Man
or
who's doing it, because the voice is kind of distorted.
Right.
You know, but...
Come to your house, kick your ass.
Well, I'm
he's got a mean streak in him, that Jesse Falcon.
I'm ready for him.
No, he's a sweetheart.
But I don't know which ones he does, but he that is his
and
voice.
How did you find that out? Did you get a strongly worded letter?
No, I think it was a text. I was texting David Vonner one day, and I mentioned that the Iron Man or something, and he's like, "Oh, that's probably Falcon."
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And I did not know that. Yeah, I got my insiders too.
Wow, look at you!
It's not just you, just because you have a toy site,
right?
I have a toy company.
Oh.
And I've made a few friends along the way.
You can text.
We'll meet you on the playground, and I can text with my new iPhone.
I see that.
So yeah. Yeah.
Well, the only other thing I wanted to mention was... And
are you firing me?
That's right. Tomorrow there'll be someone new.
Oh, God.
Next week.
What a terrible way to tell me.
No, it's fine. I'll have a co-hostess.
In the episode.
She'll be much lovelier.
You should have done this in private.
And will like the Muppets better than Jason.
It should have been done in private. That's all I'm saying.
Jason Geyer.
Me?
No. The other. Jason Geyer from Action Figure Insider wrote another really cool blog that we put up this past week about rejected Star Wars concepts.
Extensive blog.
It's very extensive. And it's only part two of
that's
a several part thing.
He used to work for, who was it?
I don't know if he wants to say.
Oh, I see. I didn't know that was
he
in there.
He didn't mention it.
Okay.
So
all
I'm
right.
not
well,
going to say.
But he worked at
he
a...
He worked for a company that made premiums.
Right.
And they were pitching to do stuff for the original episode one 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And what Lucas made you do was pitch on the original trilogy, and if they liked your stuff, then they would show you some of the material from episode one as they were making it. So he did a lot of stuff and fun stuff, things that people I think would like and enjoy. That we got huge reaction to the one he wrote 4 years ago that had like, you know, the Death Star Weber grill and, you know, they had like taxidermy wampa heads that you could put on your wall.
It's amazing how much stuff gets rejected. And you just go, why did this...
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, though. Everyone keeps... And this new one, too, it's making the rounds. It's been on IO9 and Gizmodo and, you know, a lot of the big sites. But they're all like, well, you know, screw you, George Lucas. But he says in the blog, it's like, a lot of this stuff never made it out of our company.
Right.
Like, our guys shot it down. Certainly never went to Lucas.
Right, going, right.
Well, that's preposterous.
Right.
So, you know, it's not George's fault. I think one of the sites actually called their, when they redid the article and put it on their site, it was just like, things George Lucas doesn't want you to have. And it's just like, well, no, George never saw these.
He sees everything.
Yeah.
No, it's really cool. And it's what's cool about it is, or what's sad about it, I guess, is that there is such nostalgia for the original films that isn't there, I don't think, yet. Maybe never will be for the new films.
Right.
But you look at these concepts and you're like, man, if this was made now, if this was made back then, it would have done fine. If this was made now, it would have sold. It would have been a premium that people would have loved. Like, I don't think there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, trading or having shelves of all the KFC and Taco Bell toys, like
right, yes,
you know,
yeah, yeah,
all trading the
cup
those.
Toppers, yeah,
yeah, all the cup toppers.
Yeah. I just got rid of all my cup toppers at my last garage sale. Finally.
You did? You finally got rid of your last Jar Jar cup topper?
Yeah. Well, I had the whole set. Yeah, I went to all those restaurants, the KFC,
the Jar Jar,
all
the,
those.
Him on the pod. Wasn't it him
That's
on the pod?
Sebulba. Sebulba.
Sebulba.
Was on the pod race.
But wasn't there an Anakin one too?
There was an Anakin as a pod racer as well.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I
there were like
that.
12 of them, there and were... I went to all the restaurants and got them all over a series of a month.
You did.
That's what I did. That's how I spent. I honestly did.
Oh, I thought you were being silly.
No, all the cup toppers. I had them all.
Well, then there was.
And
all
I even had the foreign release cup toppers that were Darth Vader, Stormtrooper, C-3PO, and R2 that were a little smaller.
Wow.
Yeah.
But weren't there also? Remember in Japan they did like Pepsi characters.
Yep.
They were inside the Pepsi bottle, like you unscrewed it.
Well,
and it
that's
the
one
cap.
Of his concepts.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
one
that's
of the things
right.
in there. Yeah.
Yeah. But they did that for Episode One.
Yeah.
And they made like 50 of them.
Oh, yeah.
Like 50 crazy. Different characters
yeah, yeah.
in Japan. Like you had, there's no way, you would have been in Pepsi for the rest of your life if you tried to get all these things, all
Absolutely.
These characters. But remember all the, like the, it was that deal that was struck for the special editions. He struck a deal with KFC, which was KFC, Taco Bell,
and Pepsi.
Pepsi.
Yeah.
And it was across the special editions, but then also for
Episode one.
Yep. Where you had, it wasn't just like four toys you had to collect
oh,
or
no,
six.
It was
like
30.
There were, yeah it was
30
it was
to 40. Yeah.
The definition of overkill
yes.
every step of the way. Because, yeah. but again, it was that nobody, everybody thought, somebody maybe could have put the brakes on and said, we're going to be in trouble.
And Pizza was the other one, I think.
They could have said, this would have to be a $1 billion opening weekend to get rid of all this stuff. Somebody might have said, whoa. But it was just like, everyone thought that because of the history, it was going to be the biggest movie of all time. And then
because I went to like Midnight Madness for Episode One and mm-hmm. maybe Episode Two mm-hmm. even, where like, you know, they were selling the toys in May at a certain night.
Oh,
midnight,
yeah, Toys R Us.
Like, yeah. I went and did that.
Yeah.
And boy, I treasure all of that stuff. Now.
You do. You got like, a whole big bag full.
Oh, I love my Episode One shelves.
And the little talker.
The proudest in my collection.
And the little talker, the technology.
Yeah, the chip.
And you put the chip on, you stand them on the chip, and it would go.
The Comtech chip.
Yeah. And you'd be like, oh, was that from the movie?
Yeah.
Is that an actual audio? Yeah, that was rough technology for then. Yeah.
And then you could also measure other people's midichlorians with it.
You could.
Yeah.
That's right. How is your midichlorian count, by the way?
It's a little low.
You should get to the doctor.
Yeah, I've been taking supplements, so
it
should be fine going forward.
Mine's solid as ever.
But I've been, speaking of Lucas and licensing, though, this is one thing, just to finish up.
Yes.
I noticed at Toy Fair this year, at the Cotabaquillo booth, they've got their whole Bishuju line of, like, hot girls from different licenses.
Yeah.
They've got, like, Marvel, DC, there's
yeah.
a Ghostbuster. They've done a Star Wars one now. That, I guess in theory, is like Han Solo's daughter, Luke's daughter, someone's daughter.
Yeah.
Jada's, I can't remember who it was, but.
Okay.
And she's in.
Jada
like
Pinkett's daughter?
Yeah, it's Jada Pinkett Solo. no, it's Han's daughter. And in a, like a an X-Wing flight suit that's been unzipped and is sort of hanging down around.
Mm-hmm.
Back away from me.
Sorry, I was getting an image of you in a flight suit.
No, not me.
Oh,
I'm talking about, you know, it's this very leggy.
What's it called? A
brunette,
shushu girl?
Bishuju? Gesundheit.
What are they called?
Bishuju. Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, she's unzipped the thing, and she's wearing, like, a tank top underneath.
Where are you going with
she's
this?
Got her helmet, like a lightsaber, and her hair's blowing in the breeze.
Yes.
And I thought, well, that's pretty racy for Lucas.
Bishuju?
Like, they don't usually allow that sort of deviation from their sort of core concepts. And I was surprised to see that. And I talked to the rep in the booth, and he was like, this is actually the first one we ever pitched.
Oh.
Before we had Marvel, before we had DC, any of that, we were trying to get this one done with Lucas. And they kind of kept going back
and forth. They
finally
came through?
Yeah. And like their one big note was, I guess, in the original design of it, her T-shirt was like a midriff.
Oh.
And they were like, go ahead and pull that down.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was interesting. You know,
they finally got the design to Lucas, and it turns out he's a bit of a perv.
Yes, well, you know, he designed a lot of Amidala's dresses. So.
And he's like, why hasn't this been made yet?
Sometimes he likes to feel pretty.
I want a dozen of those.
Well, on that note, as we get a cease and desist order from,
from
the fine people
George
at
Lucas,
this is another fine episode of
I think
Geek
it's our,
Shall Inherit.
Who says 13's unlucky?
I didn't say that.
I feel lucky.
I feel like you said that.
Did I?
No, I don't
know. I'm feeling lucky. We're taking it back.
But thank you, everyone, for listening. Keep the suggestions coming, the comments coming. We love them. We're reading them all on the website, on the message boards. responding to us on Twitter. You tweeted the other day.
I did.
That happened. Very exciting. That went through.
There hasn't been any fallout yet.
But no, it's not
been
yet.
Pretty exciting. And again, if you have any suggestions for topics or any questions, please send them along. We love entertaining that sort of thing.
We'd love to hear them. Thanks, everyone. Have a good week. We will talk to you soon from the International House of Podcasts.
Good day, everyone.
Shiny. Let's be bad guys. I know Kung Fu.
Show me.
Secrets of nature's deepest mystery.